How should individuals be thinking about assessing risk at this stage? For example, whether they're, you know, deciding whether or not to go to a concert or fly across the country to visit a family member.
Throughout the pandemic, we've all been trying to figure out, how do I keep myself safe, and also how do I do my duty not to endanger others? And that has changed a little bit in the middle of the Omicron wave, where the number of cases is surging enough to endanger our healthcare system's ability to provide even the most basic care. That to me says that the obligation to invest in protecting others and protecting the integrity of the healthcare system has grown. That means this is a period of time in which we should be more careful to avoid indoor grouped gatherings. We should avoid optional travel. But I do think we must expect that those kinds of sacrifices are short term, and we cannot live life in a perpetual state of emergency. And so I think the fact that the Omicron surge is expected to not last for very long, is already peaking in other parts of the world, suggests to me that we can invest over the coming weeks in special measures to keep the healthcare system functioning, to keep society functioning, with the expectation that we should come back to a more relaxed way of living soon.
You know, Dr. Leahy, the way you're describing sort of this mentality, it seems like it's not necessarily just assessing risk of whether or not you personally are going to get sick, but how your actions affect the larger community. Is that kind of what you're trying to get at here?
It has always been true that no man is an island. But certainly the COVID pandemic has made us all so intimately familiar with the fact that our actions can endanger or protect others. For me, I think the biggest challenge is that there's a tension between those two. My personal freedom is affected by my efforts to protect you, and vice versa. And so you can't expect too much of my efforts to protect you, and nor can I. What's enough, what's too much, is a big societal decision. If my behavior affects the ability of my neighbor to go get a heart surgery, I am gonna feel responsible as a good neighbor to protect her. On the other hand, if the magnitude of that risk is smaller and our hospitals are not endangered and the number of deaths in our community is not super high, we should give each other more personal freedoms and not infringe more than we have to. Right now, because of the Omicron surge, that need is once again emergent. And so it makes sense to make those sacrifices, but to look for the end of them.
We've been hearing about what it will be like in the future, in the months and years ahead, to just live with this virus instead of acting like it's just a perpetual emergency. What actions do you think we need to be taking in the next coming weeks and months to sort of to get to that place? Like, what does that look like?
I think that the average lower severity of disease from Omicron is a sign that endemicity is coming and closer than it was before. When we cross over from a state of emergency into just living with a low level of the virus is a judgment call. But I think what we need to do is be very clear about what metrics we're going to use to define that line. We should not be using case counts, for instance, because an increasing number of those cases are so mild as to not be important. But we should be using the number of deaths in our communities, how overextended our hospital systems are, how much illnesses are affecting businesses' ability to stay open, and use that collection of parameters to make wise decisions about whether we're in an emergency or if we're sort of getting better but still need to take some measures, or if at long last we finally can just go back to normal life and say that's a small enough burden that we're just going to bear it.
Tim Leahy is an infectious diseases physician at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Thanks so much for the time.
You got it, Liam.